For over 20 years, I've studied, practiced, and lived by the lessons of philosophy, psychology, and human behavior. And I can tell you this, the way you start your morning decides the kind of life you build, not just your day, your life. If you stumble out of bed and let chaos take over, you're already defeated before the world even throws its first punch. But if you wake up with clarity, with intention, with discipline, you've already won half the battle. The Stoics understood this better than anyone. Marcus Aurelius, carrying the weight of an empire, wrote to himself every morning, not to inspire others, but to sharpen his own mind. Seneca reminded himself daily that time is the most precious resource and that wasting it is worse than losing money. Epictetus, once a slave, began each day reminding himself that his mind, not his circumstances, was his true kingdom. And here's the point. You don't need fancy routines. You don't need hours of rituals. What you need are a few powerful practices, principles so clear, so sharp, that they anchor your soul before the world has a chance to shake you. In this episode, I'm going to share with you 12 Stoic morning practices. Simple lines, simple actions. But if you commit to them, they will change the way you face each day, and ultimately, the way you live your life. 1. Remember you'll meet difficult people today. The Stoics were brutally honest about human nature. Marcus Aurelius began his mornings by reminding himself that he would encounter people who were selfish, arrogant, jealous, and sometimes outright cruel. Why? Because he understood a truth that most of us still resist. Life will not spare you from difficult people. Pretending otherwise only makes you weaker. Think about it. How many times have you started your day with good intentions, only to have someone's attitude, their rudeness, or their negativity ruin your mood within minutes? It happens because we walk into the day expecting kindness, expecting fairness, expecting the world to treat us gently. But the Stoics knew better. They prepared for reality, not fantasy. Marcus wrote, "Today you will meet the ungrateful, the arrogant, the deceitful." He wasn't complaining. He was preparing. He was building a shield for his mind. And here's the key. When you expect difficulty, you stop being surprised by it. The driver who cuts you off, the co-worker who takes credit for your work, the friend who disappoints you, none of it knocks you off balance. If you already told yourself in the morning, "I will meet people like this, and I will not let them control me." That mindset is power. It means you choose your response before the situation even happens. The Stoics didn't say you should avoid people or shut yourself off from the world. Quite the opposite. They believed your character is tested in the fire of relationships, in the mess of human interaction. But if you want to remain calm, focused, and unshakable, you must remind yourself, difficult people will appear, and when they do, I will respond with reason, not anger, with clarity, not chaos. So tomorrow morning, before you check your phone, before you open your door, pause for just a moment. Tell yourself, "Today I will meet people who may be rude, jealous, or ungrateful, but they cannot touch my mind unless I allow them to." That simple line is enough to protect your peace from the storms of others. 2. Rehearse your mortality. Every morning, the Stoics reminded themselves of death, not as a dark obsession, but as a way to sharpen life. Memento mori, remember that you must die. At first, it sounds harsh. Why would anyone start their day by thinking of death? Because the Stoics knew something we often forget. Life is fragile, and when you forget that, you waste it. Seneca wrote, "You act like mortals in what you fear, and like immortals in what you desire." What he meant is simple. We fear small risks, small losses, while at the same time living as if we have infinite time. We scroll, we gossip, we put off what matters, we waste hours on things that give us nothing in return. And then, one day, the opportunity is gone. The person we wanted to talk to is no longer here. The dream we wanted to pursue is left behind. The morning you thought was ordinary was, in fact, your last chance. The Stoics used the awareness of death as a wake-up call. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily, "You could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do, say, and think." Imagine beginning your morning with that thought. Instead of dread, it gives clarity. You realize that most of what you worry about doesn't matter. That argument you replay in your head, the envy that eats at you, the fear of embarrassment, none of it matters if today were your last day. What matters is whether you lived with virtue, with courage, with honesty. This practice doesn't make you morbid, it makes you alive. Think of how fragile everything truly is. The coffee in your hands, the voice of someone you love, the health that allows you to move freely, none of it is guaranteed tomorrow. When you carry that awareness into your morning, suddenly the little annoyances fade. The traffic jam is not a tragedy. The rude comment is not worth your energy. You see what is important because you see it against the backdrop of your finite time. Seneca even advised practicing voluntary discomfort, wearing rough clothes, eating simple food, not to punish yourself, but to remind yourself, "Is this what I fear?" In doing so, you strip away the illusion that comfort is owed to you or that tomorrow is promised. Death, in the Stoic mind, is not the enemy. Forgetting death is, because forgetting death makes you careless with life. So how do you apply this in your own mornings? It's simple. When you wake up, whisper to yourself, "This day could be my last. If it is, let it be lived with strength. Say it not with fear, but with power. Let it cut through the laziness, the hesitation, the endless procrastination. Let it remind you that every day is a gift you don't deserve, but are lucky to receive." And here's the paradox. The more you think of death, the more alive you feel. By accepting the limit of time, you stop wasting it. By remembering you are mortal, you live as if every moment is priceless. And isn't that what we all want? To live fully, to live awake, to live without regret. So tomorrow, when you rise, rehearse your mortality. Not to be sad, but to be free. Free from illusions, free from waste, free to embrace the only thing you ever truly have. This moment, right now. 3. Focus only on what is in your control. One of the most liberating truths the Stoics gave us is also one of the hardest to practice. Epictetus said it clearly. Some things are up to us and some things are not. That simple line is the dividing line between peace and chaos. Most people wake up and immediately hand their power to things they cannot control. The weather, the markets, the opinions of others, the unpredictable traffic, the news headlines screaming for attention. None of this is under your control, yet it dominates your mood, your focus, your energy. Think about your own mornings. Maybe you check your phone before you even get out of bed. You see an email that frustrates you, a piece of news that depresses you, a social media post that makes you feel behind. Before you've even had breakfast, you're already upset about things you can't change. That's how most people live, chained to the outside world, enslaved by things that were never theirs to command. The Stoics refused to live that way. They knew that freedom isn't about controlling everything outside. Freedom is controlling yourself, your mind, your choices, your responses. Epictetus put it simply, "You have power over your mind, not outside events." Realize this, and you will find strength. Notice the order, not power over events, power over your mind. That's the true battlefield. Imagine the clarity that comes when you divide the world into two categories every morning. What is mine to control and what is not? The outcome of today's meeting. Not fully yours. How others see you. Not yours. Whether people respect you. Not yours. But your preparation, your effort, your honesty, your ability to remain calm under pressure. That is fully yours. That's the Stoic way. Redirect energy from what you cannot command to what you can. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself of this daily. As emperor, he ruled over millions, commanded armies, and shaped history. Yet even he admitted that most of life was outside his control. A plague swept his empire. Wars erupted at the borders. Senators plotted in the shadows. He could not stop the storm, but he could decide whether to meet it with wisdom or panic, with courage or fear, with justice or selfishness. That is the part he owned, and he guarded it fiercely. Now let's bring it back to you. If you want to practice this habit, start small. In the morning, ask, what is in my control today? Make a short mental list. Maybe it's the way you begin your morning routine. Maybe it's how you treat people you meet. Maybe it's the level of effort you bring to your work. Then ask, what is not in my control? The stock market? Not yours. The weather? Not yours. Someone else's approval? Not yours. Once you've made that mental split, hold yourself accountable. When you feel frustration rising, pause and ask, is this mine to control? If it is, act with full focus. If it's not, release it. Let it go before it drains your energy. That's not passivity, it's power. Because the energy you save from obsessing over the uncontrollable becomes fuel for what you can actually shape. The truth is, most people spend their lives flipping this principle upside down. They ignore what they can control, their habits, their mindset, their choices, while obsessing endlessly over what they cannot. They complain about the economy, but neglect their own skills. They envy others' success, but waste their own time. They fear outcomes, but never prepare for them. That's why they remain trapped. The Stoic, however, is different. The Stoic wakes each morning determined to place their attention where it counts. You cannot control the storm, but you can control the sail. You cannot control the enemy, but you can control your courage. You cannot control the words of others, but you can control your silence. This is not weakness. This is strength at its highest form. And here's what makes this practice so powerful. When you truly commit to focusing only on what's in your control, you become unshakable. People can insult you, but you don't lose your composure. Circumstances can change, but you adapt instead of breaking. Disappointments come, but you use them as fuel instead of chains. You realize that no one can truly harm you, because your mind, your character, your will, those are untouchable. So tomorrow morning, before the world pulls at you, whisper this line to yourself. I will focus only on what is in my control. Let that be the lens through which you see the day. And when challenges come, as they surely will, you'll meet them not as a victim of fate, but as the master of yourself. That is the Stoic way. 4. Premeditatio malorum. One of the most misunderstood yet powerful Stoic practices is called premeditatio malorum, the premeditation of evils. At first glance, it sounds negative. Why would anyone want to start their morning imagining bad things happening? But the Stoics were masters of the mind. They knew that by preparing for life's difficulties in advance, you strip those difficulties of their power to shock you, overwhelm you, or control you. Marcus Aurelius, writing to himself in the quiet of early mornings, reminded his mind that people would disappoint him, that hardships would appear, that suffering is inevitable. Epictetus taught his students to visualize loss before it happens. Your possessions, your status, even the people you love, none of it is permanently yours. And Seneca wrote to his friends that if you want peace, you must rehearse adversity before it arrives. Not because you want it, but because pretending it won't come only makes you weaker. Think about how most people live. They expect comfort, they expect smooth roads, they expect others to treat them kindly, and when life doesn't deliver, when someone betrays them, when money is lost, when illness strikes, they fall apart. They feel cursed, blindsided, unfairly treated by fate. But the Stoic doesn't fall apart because the Stoic expected it. By imagining difficulties each morning, he has already lived through them once in his mind. And so, when they come in reality, he meets them not with surprise, but with readiness. Picture this. You wake up in the morning and take a few quiet minutes. You tell yourself, "Today, someone may insult me. Someone may cut me off in traffic. A deal I hoped for may collapse. My body may feel weak. The weather may turn against my plans." You don't dwell on it with fear. You simply acknowledge it. And then you add, "None of these things can stop me from acting with courage, with wisdom, with justice, and with self-control." That shift is everything. You've just built mental armor before leaving your home. This practice is not about pessimism. It's about strength. It's about stealing fear's weapon before it can use it against you. When you expect the world to be imperfect, you stop demanding that it be perfect. You free yourself from disappointment because nothing surprises you. Seneca even suggested sleeping on the floor sometimes, eating simple food, wearing plain clothes, not as punishment, but as rehearsal, to remind himself, "If life strips me of comfort, I will still endure." Now imagine carrying this mindset into your day. The train is late, you expected delays, the client cancels, you rehearsed setbacks. A friend doesn't call back, you knew humans are imperfect. Instead of collapsing into frustration, you smile because you see it exactly as you prepared for it. The event hasn't weakened you, it has confirmed your strength. Compare that to how most people react. The smallest inconvenience destroys their mood. One rude comment ruins their confidence. A single rejection makes them doubt their entire path. Why? Because they expected the day to be smooth, and reality betrayed that illusion. That's the difference between the unprepared mind and the Stoic mind. Premeditatio malorum is a daily exercise in building resilience. It says, "Yes, hardships will come. Yes, people will fail me. Yes, things will break, but I will not break with them." That's the vow you make each morning when you practice this. So tomorrow, try this simple ritual. Before you pick up your phone, sit quietly and imagine the day ahead. Not as a fantasy where everything goes your way, but as reality, unpredictable, messy, full of both blessings and challenges. Whisper to yourself, "Today I may face insult, delay, loss, or pain, but none of these will stop me from living with virtue." That single act transforms fear into preparation, weakness into strength. The truth is, you cannot control what happens to you, but you can always control how ready you are when it happens. That's what the Stoics mastered. And if you want peace, if you want resilience, if you want to walk through life unshaken, you must master it too. 5. Recommit to the four virtues. Every morning the Stoics returned to the same foundation, the four cardinal virtues: wisdom, courage, justice, and self-control. These weren't abstract ideals to them. They weren't just words carved into philosophy books. They were daily disciplines, reminders of how to live, measures against which to judge every action. If the morning is the moment where you set the compass for the day, then the four virtues are the compass points. Without them you drift, with them you walk with clarity. Marcus Aurelius, ruling over an empire, wrote to himself, "If at some point in the day you fall short, begin again. Return to the virtues." That's the reminder. Perfection isn't the goal. Returning to the virtues is. Seneca said the same in his letters. Life is not about long speeches, but about living with wisdom and justice in each decision. Epictetus was even more blunt. If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid. Why? Because living by virtue often looks strange to a world obsessed with wealth, status, and pleasure. But to the Stoic, these four virtues were the only real measure of success. Let's break them down. Wisdom is the ability to see clearly, to separate what matters from what doesn't. In the morning, wisdom means asking, "What is truly important today?" Instead of scattering your attention, you anchor it. Without wisdom, you're tossed around by every distraction. With wisdom, you focus like a craftsman on the task at hand. Courage is not just bravery in battle. It's the willingness to do the right thing, even when it's hard. In the morning, courage might mean getting out of bed when your body begs for comfort. It might mean facing a difficult conversation instead of avoiding it. It might mean pursuing your dream in the face of fear. The Stoics knew that every day would demand courage, and so they rehearsed it in their thoughts before life demanded it in action. Justice is the virtue of fairness, of remembering that you're part of a larger human community. In the morning, justice means deciding, "Today, I will not let selfishness blind me. Today, I will treat others with fairness. Even when it costs me," Marcus reminded himself daily that he was a citizen of the world, not just an emperor. Justice means your actions aren't only for you. They ripple outward, shaping the world around you. And self-control, perhaps the hardest of all. In the morning, it means committing to discipline before impulses take over, to eat with moderation, to speak with restraint, to resist anger, envy, or temptation. Epictetus taught that without self-control, you are not free. You are a slave to your emotions. To the Stoics, freedom wasn't doing whatever you want. It was mastery over yourself. Now, imagine beginning every morning with these four words etched into your mind: wisdom, courage, justice, self-control. Before you step out into the chaos, you remind yourself, "Today I will aim to see clearly, to act bravely, to treat others fairly, and to master myself." That simple reflection becomes the shield you carry into the world. Compare this to how most people start their day. They think about their schedule, their bills, their stress. They check notifications. They scroll social media. They drown in comparison. By the time they leave their home, they are already lost, already pulled in 10 directions. The Stoic is different. The Stoic begins anchored in virtue, not in noise. And because of that, no matter what happens, success, failure, insult, praise, he remains steady. The beauty of this practice is that it doesn't take hours. You don't need elaborate rituals. You just need to remember the compass. Wisdom: what is true today? Courage: what will I face with strength? Justice: how will I treat others rightly? Self-control: how will I master myself? These four questions are enough to align your day with the highest standard. And here's the secret: living by these virtues isn't just about moral purity, it's about power. Because a person who sees clearly, acts bravely, treats others justly, and controls themselves cannot be manipulated. They cannot be broken by circumstances. They cannot be owned by fear, temptation, or the opinions of others. That is what the Stoics called true freedom. So tomorrow morning, before you step into the world, recommit to the four virtues. Write them down, speak them aloud, etch them into your mind. Wisdom, courage, justice, self-control. If you lose sight during the day, return to them. If you stumble, start again. They are not just ideals. They are the daily training that makes you strong, steady, and untouchable. 6. Practice gratitude. Gratitude, a word so simple, so overused, that many people dismiss it as cliché. But for the Stoics, gratitude was not a shallow exercise in saying thank you. It was a discipline, a training of the mind, a daily practice of redirecting attention away from what is missing and toward what is already present. Because the truth is, most suffering doesn't come from lack. It comes from obsession. Obsession with what we don't yet have, with what others have, with what we believe should have been given to us. Gratitude is the antidote to that poison. Seneca wrote that it's not the man who has too little who is poor, but the man who craves more. Think about that. Poverty is not measured by possessions, but by desires. You can have millions and still be poor if you always want more. You can have almost nothing and yet feel rich if you truly appreciate what is in front of you. That's why, every morning, the Stoics encourage themselves to look at their lives and whisper, "This is enough. More than enough." Marcus Aurelius, the most powerful man of his time, looked at the sunrise and reminded himself of the gift of simply being alive. He wrote, "When you arise in the morning, think of what a privilege it is to be alive, to think, to enjoy, to love." Notice how he starts not with empire, armies, or wealth, but with breath, thought, and love. The basics. That's gratitude in its purest form. Gratitude in the Stoic sense is not passive. It's active. It's not waiting for good things to fall into your lap so you can feel thankful. It's choosing, deliberately, to see even the smallest details as blessings. The warmth of sunlight through your window. The body that carries you through the day, even if it aches sometimes. The voice of someone who cares for you. The chance to learn, to improve, to begin again. Here's what happens when you practice gratitude every morning. Your mind shifts. Instead of entering the day already focused on what's missing, already chasing, already restless, you begin from a place of fullness. And when you start full, you're not as easily shaken by loss. The coffee spills, the plan fails, the person disappoints, but you don't collapse because you've already reminded yourself, "I have enough right now." Modern psychology backs this up. Studies show that people who practice daily gratitude are more resilient, more optimistic, less anxious. Why? Because gratitude rewires the mind. It trains you to notice abundance instead of lack, to focus on presence instead of absence. And once your mind is trained that way, you carry a shield into the day that negativity struggles to pierce. The Stoics would even go further. They taught gratitude not only for what is pleasant, but for what is painful. Seneca urged his readers to be grateful for hardships because hardships reveal strength. Marcus Aurelius thanked life for challenges because challenges are the forge of character. This is a radical form of gratitude, to not only accept, but to embrace difficulty as part of nature's plan. Imagine beginning your morning with that kind of perspective. Whatever comes my way, whether comfort or discomfort, I will treat it as a gift because it serves my growth. That is the highest level of Stoic gratitude. So how do you apply this in your mornings? Keep it simple. When you wake, before rushing into tasks, pause Name three things you're grateful for. Not grand things, simple things. The breath in your lungs, the roof above your head, the chance to start again. Then take it further. Name one difficulty you're facing and say, I am grateful for this too, because it is shaping me. Do this every day and watch how it transforms you. Gratitude doesn't erase problems, it reframes them. It doesn't deny pain, it places it in a larger context. And with that shift, you walk through life with less bitterness, less envy, less complaint, and more calm, more clarity, more peace. So tomorrow morning, as you open your eyes, don't rush into complaint. Don't immediately think about what's missing. Instead, whisper to yourself, I am grateful. I already have enough. That simple act might be the most stoic, most powerful way to begin your day. 7. Guard your time. Seneca once wrote, it is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste a lot of it. Out of all the Stoic teachings, this one might sting the most, because it holds up a mirror to how we live our days. We often talk about protecting money, guarding possessions, even defending our reputation. But what about time, the one resource that cannot be earned back once it is gone? The Stoics warned us, if you do not guard your time, you will spend your life on things that don't matter, and by the time you realize it, the account will be empty. Think about how you began your last morning. Did you dive straight into emails? Did you spend half an hour scrolling through social media? Did you let someone else's urgency set the tone for your day? Most of us do. We treat time like it's endless, like we can afford to lose a morning, a day, a year. But here's the brutal truth. You don't know how many mornings you have left. That's why the Stoics guarded their time with the same seriousness a soldier guards a fortress. Seneca scolded his readers for being so protective of their property, yet so careless with their hours. He wrote, people are frugal in guarding their personal property, but as soon as it comes to squandering time, they are most wasteful of the one thing in which it is right to be stingy. That's the wake-up call. You can lose money and make it back. You can rebuild a house if it burns down, but lose a day and it is gone forever. Guarding your time in the morning means setting the tone before the world intrudes. It means asking, what will I allow into my mind today? Who will I give my hours to? What deserves my focus? If you don't ask, others will answer for you. The news cycle will devour your attention. Advertisers will steal your focus. People with no discipline will pull you into their chaos. And when the day ends, you'll look back and realize you were busy, but not effective. Active, but not alive. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself that life is short and that death hangs over every moment, not to depress himself, but to remind himself time is the currency of life and he could not afford to spend it on what was worthless. So each morning, he measured his tasks against his values. Does this bring me closer to justice, wisdom, courage, and self-control? If not, it doesn't deserve my hours. That's how he guarded his time while ruling an empire. Guarding your time is not about rigidity, it's about clarity. You can enjoy leisure, but choose it deliberately. You can help others, but don't let them waste your life. You can rest, but don't confuse laziness with renewal. The Stoics knew that if you don't decide how to spend your time, someone else will decide for you, and their choice will rarely serve your highest self. So how do you practice this in your mornings? Begin by identifying the thieves of your time. Maybe it's endless scrolling. Maybe it's overthinking. Maybe it's saying yes to obligations that add nothing to your life. Name them and then build a boundary. Decide that your first hour of the day belongs to you, not to the world. Fill it with what strengthens you. Journaling, exercise, silence, reflection. That first hour sets the pattern for every hour after. And here's the paradox. When you guard your time, you actually give more to the world, because you show up with focus, with energy, with presence. But when you waste your time, you arrive drained, resentful, and distracted. Guarding your time is not selfish. It's an act of service, because it allows you to bring your best self to the people and causes that matter most. So tomorrow morning, pause and remember Seneca's warning. Your time is not endless. It is not renewable. Guard it as you would guard your life, because in truth, it is your life. Whisper to yourself, I will not waste today. And then live in a way that makes those words true. 8. Visualize living simply. One of the core lessons of Stoicism is that happiness is not found in luxury, but in simplicity. Every morning, the Stoics reminded themselves that a simple life is a strong life. Seneca wrote, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more that is poor." Epictetus, who began life as a slave, insisted that freedom wasn't about possessions, but about detachment from them. And Marcus Aurelius, who lived surrounded by palaces and wealth, trained his mind daily to live as if he could lose all of it and still be at peace. Most of us start the day already tangled in craving. We want more money, more recognition, more comfort. We think, if I just had that one thing, then I'd feel satisfied. But the Stoics flipped this thinking. Instead of beginning their day with desires, they began with discipline. They asked themselves, if all of this were taken away, would I still be whole? That's what visualizing simplicity is about. It's a morning exercise in freedom. Seneca would sometimes sleep on the floor, eat the simplest bread, and wear rough clothes, whispering to himself, "Is this what I feared?" He wasn't punishing himself. He was training. He wanted to remind his mind that even if fortune stripped him bare, he could still endure, still live, still be free. That's the paradox of simplicity. When you need less, life cannot control you. Think of how much overthinking, anxiety, and stress comes from wanting more than we need. You compare your car to someone else's. You envy the bigger house, the newer phone, the higher salary. And without realizing it, you poison your morning before it even begins. The Stoics knew that by practicing simplicity, at least in the imagination, you break that poison's hold. You wake up and tell yourself, if I had only bread and water today, I could still live well. And suddenly, everything else you do have becomes a bonus, not a necessity. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself that the human body doesn't need much. Food, shelter, clothing. Anything beyond that is luxury, and luxury can soften you if you depend on it. That's why he practiced gratitude not for extravagance, but for the basics. He knew that kings and beggars alike share the same fate, death. And once you understand that, you see how foolish it is to spend your life chasing comforts that never last. Visualizing simplicity also strengthens your resilience. If you can imagine yourself living with less and still living with dignity, then nothing can shake you. You lose a job. You've rehearsed simplicity. You face financial struggle. You've already pictured it. Instead of collapsing in panic, you adapt. That is Stoic freedom, not to avoid loss, but to train yourself to remain unbroken when it comes. So how do you practice this in your mornings? You don't need to strip your life bare. Just take a quiet moment to imagine, if today I lost what I own, if I had only the essentials, could I still live with strength? Remind yourself that food, water, and a clear conscience are enough. Then, as you go through your day, Notice how much easier it becomes to let go of envy, of greed, of endless wanting. You stop comparing, you stop craving, you start living. And here's the hidden gift. When you learn to live simply, you actually enjoy abundance more, because you no longer depend on it. A simple meal tastes richer, a warm bed feels like a blessing, a kind word becomes priceless. Simplicity sharpens your appreciation, while craving dulls it. So tomorrow morning, don't start your day by asking what more you can get. Start by imagining what less you could live with, and still be strong, still be content, still be free. Whisper to yourself, I already have enough. And even if I had less, I would still endure. That is the Stoic way of living simply. 9. Journal your thoughts. If there is one Stoic practice that has survived across centuries and proven itself in modern times, it is journaling. Not journaling as a hobby, not journaling as a pretty diary of daily events, but journaling as a weapon of the mind. Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, perhaps the most famous Stoic text we have today, was nothing more than his private journal. He wasn't writing for an audience. He wasn't trying to impress future generations. He was writing to himself every morning and every night to sharpen his thoughts and guard his mind against weakness. Think about that. The most powerful man in the world at the time, Emperor of Rome, surrounded by chaos, war, politics, betrayal, and he still sat down each day with a pen and reminded himself, "You will meet arrogant, deceitful, selfish people today," he told himself. "You could die at any moment, so live now." He wrote over and over, "Do not waste time arguing what a good man should be. Be one that was journaling for Marcus, a mirror to his soul, a daily sharpening of his sword." Now ask yourself, if Marcus Aurelius, with the weight of an empire on his shoulders, had time to journal, why don't you? The truth is, most of us fear the blank page because it exposes us. It forces us to see our thoughts, our excuses, our weaknesses in black and white. But that's exactly why the Stoics embraced it. Writing forces clarity. What feels overwhelming in your head becomes manageable on paper. What feels like chaos becomes a pattern you can analyze. Seneca encouraged his students to review their day in writing, to ask, "Where did I waste time? Where did I let anger win? Where did I act with courage?" Not as self-punishment, but as self-awareness. Because if you don't examine your life, how can you expect it to improve? Epictetus reminded his students to keep a notebook, to record their impressions, their reactions, their struggles, so they could see clearly whether they were living by reason or by impulse. Modern science now agrees. Studies show that daily journaling reduces stress, improves focus, and strengthens self-discipline. Why? Because when you write, you slow down. You separate yourself from your emotions. You create distance between you and the storm. And in that distance, you find clarity. So how do you apply this in your mornings? Don't overcomplicate it. You don't need pages of perfect prose. You don't need hours. All you need is a few lines of brutal honesty. Ask yourself, what do I fear today? What do I want to accomplish? How will I face difficulty? Write the answers down. Don't edit. Don't judge. Just put it on paper. Here's a simple ritual. Open a notebook and write 3 sentences every morning. 1 sentence about what you will face. 1 about how you will face it. 1 about what you refuse to compromise. That's it. Over time, these sentences become a map of your growth. You'll look back and see how your fears changed, how your strength grew, how your character sharpened. And here's the deeper truth. Journaling is not about recording life. It's about creating life. Marcus Aurelius didn't just describe his days, he shaped his days by reminding himself of his values. When he wrote, "Waste no more time arguing what a good man should be." Be one, he wasn't describing reality. He was commanding himself to live differently. His journal was not a record, it was a training ground. That's how you should see your own journaling, as a battlefield where you fight your weakness, as a mirror where you face your excuses, as a forge where you sharpen your mind. Don't write for beauty, write for strength. Write as if your life depends on it, because in many ways, it does. So tomorrow morning, before the noise of the world floods in, take a pen and a page. Write a few lines to yourself. Be honest, be sharp, be brutal if you have to. Whisper to yourself, "This is my training ground. These words will shape the man or woman I am becoming." That's not journaling as the world thinks of it. That's stoic journaling, and it could become the most powerful weapon you carry each morning. 10. Strengthen your mind-body link. The Stoics understood something we often forget in the modern world. The mind and the body are not two separate systems. They are partners in survival, allies in discipline, and mirrors of each other. Epictetus, who spent his life with a crippled leg, never let his physical limitation define his spirit. Marcus Aurelius, who ruled an empire, still trained his body with discipline, understanding that a weak body weakens the will. The Stoic life was not about sitting in endless thought. It was about aligning the mind and the body so they worked as one. Most of us wake up and live as if our body is just a vehicle to carry our thoughts around. We sit for hours. We eat without awareness. We neglect sleep. We push our bodies until they collapse. And then we wonder why our minds are foggy, anxious, or weak. But the Stoics knew the opposite was true. A disciplined body supports a disciplined mind. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You must build up your life action by action and be content if each one achieves its goal as far as possible." That included care for the body, because the body is the tool through which the mind expresses itself. So what does strengthening the mind-body link look like? It begins in the morning. The Stoics didn't believe in lying in bed indulging in laziness. In fact, Marcus scolded himself for it in his meditations. At dawn, when you have trouble getting out of bed, tell yourself, "I am rising to do the work of a human being." Notice his language. Not to chase pleasure, not to drift through comfort, but to do the work of a human being. Rising itself was a discipline. Movement itself was a training ground. A Stoic morning might involve physical exercise, not to sculpt the body for vanity, but to train endurance, resilience, and control. Simple exercises, a run, push-ups, walking outdoors. The goal wasn't to show off, but to remind the body who is in charge. Seneca even practiced voluntary discomfort, exposing himself to cold, hunger, or fatigue as a way of strengthening both body and mind against future hardships. He asked, "Is this what I feared?" and proved to himself daily that comfort was optional, but strength was essential. Modern science now echoes what the Stoics already knew. When you move your body, your brain changes. Exercise sharpens focus, calms anxiety, and fuels resilience. Your physiology shapes your psychology. If you begin your morning with sluggish habits, scrolling in bed, sitting hunched over, filling yourself with sugar, your mind follows the same sluggish pattern. But if you begin your morning with movement, breath, and discipline, your mind rises to meet that standard. Strengthening the mind-body link also means treating your body as part of your philosophy. It's not about punishment, it's about harmony. When you breathe deeply in the morning, you are reminding your nervous system that you are calm, in control, steady. When you take a cold shower, you are training your mind to endure discomfort without panic. When you eat with moderation, you are proving that appetite does not rule you. You rule it. Every physical action becomes a stoic practice when it is done with intention. So tomorrow morning, ask yourself, what small act can I do today to align my body with my mind? It could be 10 push-ups, a few minutes of stretching, a short walk in silence, or a glass of water before coffee. Don't underestimate it. These small physical acts are signals to your brain. I am disciplined. I am awake. I am ready. They set the tone for everything that follows. Remember, the Stoics didn't chase comfort. They trained for life. A body trained in strength and resilience feeds a mind trained in clarity and discipline. And when both move together, you become something rare. A human being fully alive, fully present, fully in control. So tomorrow, before the day begins, strengthen the link between your mind and your body. Whisper to yourself, I rise not for comfort, but for discipline. I rise to do the work of a human being. That simple act, moving, breathing, training, might just be the anchor that keeps both your body and your mind unshakable throughout the day. 11. Decide your why for the day. Every morning, before you step out into the noise of the world, there is one question that can change everything. Why am I doing what I'm about to do today? Most people never ask this. They wake up, go through routines, rush into obligations, and let the hours slip by without clarity or purpose. They are pulled by demands, expectations, and distractions, but never guided by a clear why. The Stoics saw this as a recipe for wasted life. Marcus Aurelius, in his Meditations, constantly reminded himself of his purpose. As emperor, his days were filled with politics, battles, and endless problems. But he told himself each morning, "You have risen to do the work of a human being." That was his why. Not luxury, not idleness, not chasing empty pleasures, but fulfilling his role as a rational, virtuous man in service of others. Notice the simplicity of his clarity. He wasn't vague. He wasn't drifting. He knew exactly why he rose from bed. Seneca echoed this when he wrote about time. He said that people are not short of life. They are short of clarity. They don't know what they want, so they waste their days in pursuits that don't matter. His advice? Begin each morning by deciding what matters to you, and let that be your compass. Without a compass, the ship is at the mercy of every wave. With a compass, you may still face storms, but you always know your direction. Now ask yourself, when you wake in the morning, do you know your why? Or do you just move because the clock tells you to? The truth is, without purpose, discipline feels like punishment. But with purpose, discipline feels like freedom. A soldier doesn't endure training because it's easy. He endures it because he knows his mission. A parent doesn't sacrifice sleep for their child because it's convenient. They do it because their why is love. Your why transforms sacrifice into meaning. So how do you find your why each morning? You don't need to write a book. You just need to ask, what is the most important thing I must live for today? It could be a big vision, building your career, serving your family, improving your character. Or it could be small but vital, showing kindness in every interaction, learning one new thing, or simply not letting anger rule you. The size doesn't matter. The clarity does. Epictetus taught that we are actors in a play directed by life. We don't choose the script, but we choose how to play our role. That's where your why lives. If you are a student, Your why may be to learn with diligence. If you are a worker, your why may be to serve with integrity. If you are a leader, your why may be to act with justice. Without reminding yourself of this role, you fall into distraction. You forget your part. You live by accident instead of design. Think of how powerful your day could be if you woke up and whispered, "Today, my why is to live with wisdom. Today, my why is to bring courage into every choice. Today, my why is to serve others with fairness. Today, my why is to master myself." Suddenly, the day is not just random hours. It is a mission. Every action either serves or betrays that mission. Every decision becomes clearer. Does this align with my why, or does it pull me away? And here's the truth. Your why may change from day to day, but the practice of defining it must remain constant. Some days your why will be survival. Other days it will be growth. Some mornings you'll focus on building your career. Others you'll focus on being present for someone you love. The Stoics didn't demand a single lifelong why. They demanded awareness. To know why you rise each morning is to live awake. To forget is to sleepwalk through your existence. So tomorrow morning, before you touch your phone, before you rush into work, pause, close your eyes and ask, "What is my why for today?" Write it down, say it out loud, hold it like a shield, and as the day unfolds, with its problems, temptations, and noise, return to it. Whisper again, "This is why I am here today." That one line will cut through distraction like a blade, guiding you back to clarity. Remember, a life without purpose is slavery. A life with purpose, no matter how hard, is freedom. Decide your why each morning, because without it, the day owns you. With it, you own the day. 12. Accept fate with serenity. Amor fati. Every morning, the Stoics reminded themselves of a truth most of us spend our whole lives resisting. You don't control the script of life. You don't decide the weather, the economy, the behavior of strangers, or the twists of fortune. What you do control is how you meet what comes. The phrase later made famous by philosophers but rooted deeply in Stoic thought is amor fati, love of fate. Not just acceptance of fate, not just resignation, but love. To greet everything that happens as if it was chosen for you, as if it belongs to you. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "A blazing fire makes flame and brightness out of everything that is thrown into it." That is amor fati. Imagine a fire that consumes whatever you toss into it, wood, waste, storms, wind, and uses all of it as fuel. That is how you should meet life each morning. The challenges, the surprises, the losses, the gifts, none of them are interruptions. They are fuel for the fire of your growth. Think about how most people wake up. They expect the day to go a certain way, and when it doesn't, they collapse into frustration. A delayed train ruins their mood. A cancelled meeting feels like disaster. A sudden illness throws them into despair. They resist reality as if resistance will change it. But resistance only multiplies suffering. The Stoics saw this clearly. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Suffering comes not from events themselves, but from our judgment of them. Seneca urged his readers to practice this mindset. A good character, once established, cannot be ruined by misfortune. Why? Because misfortune is not the enemy. Misfortune is the training ground. When something difficult enters your day, instead of asking, "Why me?" the Stoic asks, "How will I use this?" That shift is everything. Fate becomes not a curse, but a collaborator. Epictetus, born a slave and crippled by his master, had every reason to curse fate. Instead, he taught his students, Don't seek for everything to happen as you wish it, but wish for everything to happen as it actually does. Then your life will flow well. This is the essence of serenity. You can wake up fighting reality, or you can wake up flowing with it. One makes you bitter, the other makes you free. So how do you practice Amor Fati in the morning? Begin with a quiet acknowledgement. Today will not go exactly as I plan, and that is not only acceptable, it is good, say it again. Whatever comes, I will use it. If it's joy, I will embrace it. If it's pain, I will learn from it. If it's delay, I will practice patience. If it's loss, I will practice resilience. By framing the day this way, you cut the root of resistance before it grows. This is not passive surrender. Don't confuse Amor Fati with giving up. The Stoic doesn't sit back and let life roll over them. They act with courage, sometimes with discipline, toxicity with clarity. Is loud. But they people don't who waste criticize energy everything wishing reality you do, were different. Belittle your dreams. They don't shake or their fist at the sky. Your emotions to keep they don't you small, curse what is beyond but often, their power. Toxicity instead, is quiet. They take what fate it's gives the friend and who say, always plants this is seeds mine. Of doubt. I will make the co-worker who celebrates modern your failures life makes more than your wins harder because we are conditioned to believe your everything should because go it our highlights way. Their own instant stagnation. Delivery. On-demand these dynamics can be harder to spot endless convenience, because they masquerade and as when normal. Reality doesn't match. Yet, over we time, react like they create a fog that clouds your vision but the and Stoic robs you morning of momentum. Cuts through this illusion. Freeing it yourself says, from toxic life relationships will not always doesn't please always me. Mean dramatic and confrontations that is not a problem. Or burning it bridges. It is an opportunity. Sometimes so it's tomorrow a subtle, morning, but when you open shift, your eyes, whisper, reducing the time I you spend with fate certain with people, serenity, setting clear whatever boundaries, comes today is for me. Learning to say. Not against no, me. Without I will not guilt. Only endure it, other times I will love it. It does mean then, walking away as the day entirely, unfolds, recognizing those some words. Connections cannot be when saved. When something unexpected happens, destroying yourself remind in yourself, the process. This too either belongs. Way, the principle this too is the same. Is fuel. Your energy over time, is sacred. You'll notice and something you must profound. It. Life stops feeling like an enemy. An ancient it becomes truth. A teacher. The Stoics and isn't many that other schools we all of want? Thought. To stop fighting the reality, of choosing companions to stop resenting wisely. What we cannot change. Epictetus to live advised, each day, not the key in fear is of to what keep might company happen, only but with in people strength, who uplift ready you, to use whatever happens. Calls forth your that best. Is Amor Fati. If the people around you don't challenge you serenity. To grow, or worse, and that is how if the they Stoics actively resist their mornings, then not every by step demanding forward life becomes bend a battle them, you shouldn't by have choosing to bend with life. Freeing yourself unbroken, from toxic relationships unshaken, is not free. An act of cruelty. It's when an act you look of back on the 12 practices we've acknowledging explored, that you, deserve you begin to live see a with pattern. Clarity. The Stoics peace, weren't interested in shallow motivation or empty manipulation. Or they weren't chasing exhaustion. Hacks or quick fixes. It's choosing to make they were space building for relationships deeper. That are a healthy, mind that cannot be shaken, and mutually supportive, that cannot be broken. And when you a life clear that space, cannot be wasted, something powerful happens. Think about it. You start each attracting morning people habit who reflect recovered the life you're is building, a piece of armor, not the life remembering you're that you'll behind. Meet difficult people. The remaining is a months of the year are too precious to spend defending your mortality from the very people who should be helping them grow. If focusing you want transformation, only on what's in your control, begin here. Protects you by from freeing despair. Yourself from what holds premeditatio you down. Malorum once you prepares do, you for life. You'll storms. Discover that growth feels recommitting less like to the a false virtues gives uphill you battle, a compass, and more like practicing a natural gratitude unfolding. Fills you with strength. For guarding your time face keeps procrastination you from wasting your life without excuses. Visualizing simplicity frees procrastination you from is endless often craving. Described as laziness. Journaling your but in thoughts truth, keeps you it is honest and far focused. More insidious. Strengthening laziness your mind body link, a lack of desire to resilient. Act. But procrastination deciding your why is different. For the day it is the desire to act mixed and finally, with the inability accepting to begin with serenity transforms it is a constant every state of postponement into fuel where the mind convinces them together itself and that what tomorrow is always a better day a way of to living start. That makes you untouchable and so, dreams not are because not killed life by gets failure easier. They but are quietly suffocated by endless not because waiting. Problems disappear. If there is one but truth that must be confronted with clarity, now, in the months that remain, not because it is you this. Control everything. If you do not start now, but because you never will yourself, the mind is that's clever at creating excuses. The morning is I'll not just when the start I have of more your day. Time. It I is need the to start be more of prepared. Your character.
I'll begin.
So tomorrow,
after this
when you
season
wake,
passes,
don't reach for your
these
phone.
These excuses don't sound
stumble
reasonable
into
in the
moment,
noise,
but they
take
are
a breath.
Remember
there will never
these
be more
12
time,
practices,
because time
choose
is
one,
never given,
or choose
it is
all,
carved out of
whisper
what already
to yourself,
exists.
This day
preparation
is, mine.
Is important.
I will not
but
waste
most
it.
Preparation
I will live
is
with
endless.
Wisdom.
Courage,
it becomes
justice,
a ritual of
and
delay,
self-control,
a way to feel
whatever
productive
comes,
without ever
I
facing
will be ready.
The discomfort
and
of
then
beginning,
step into the day
and
with
waiting
calm,
for the perfect
with
season,
strength,
is
with
the
serenity,
greatest delusion of all.
Because life is short,
life is never
but
free
if you
of
live
difficulties,
it with intention,
there will always
it
be
is
obligations,
more than enough,
challenges, and distractions.